All right. Well, hey, I want you to know I'm well aware that it's 10:55. I have not had my regular length sermon today. Just want to share a word of great encouragement from the Lord. But I think I have at least 15 seconds to display something that Bobby referred to. When I began playing basketball here, we had cheerleaders. And we were the IBC Lions. And I could see my daughter Natalie going, oh no, oh yes, Natalie, because they've seen me do it. Lions are the best, best of all the rest. V-I-C-T-A-R-Y, victory is our cry, right? Don't you see, so when you're not 5 foot tall and you're sitting on the bench, you watch the cheerleaders a lot, all right? So that's part of my history. Sorry, honey, my history from it, but there we go, lived out for you. You know, I was, when I go on Facebook, I often go on just to say happy birthday or who graduated, but as you know, videos, we're being targeted for things, and I guess I like sports videos, and so I was watching, and it was a girls' high school game. It wasn't Maple Shade, but it was a girls' high school game, and there was a pop-up at home plate. And the catcher kind of the pop up and she threw her mask off like she's supposed to, and she's looking and she can't find it. She looks, the pitcher's pointing right at her like it's there or it's behind you. She turns around and looks at the umpire like this, and he's just looking at her, and the ball dropped right in her glove. Did any of you see it? I mean, from who knows how high, right in her glove. I want you to know, wow, what a wonderful surprise, right? I feel like that today. Because if you've been with us over the last more than a year, we've been studying 2 Samuel. And I promise you, we are almost done, right? We really are. But for me, I feel like I got a lucky catch, because you know that I'm not strategic in like saying to you, here's what I'm gonna be speaking on in September and October. Like as far, I kind of chew up what God's given me and where's he taking us. And the ball landed in my glove. By God's design on 2 Samuel 22 today, what we reached at, because it's all about what we're celebrating today, God's faithfulness. I want to read for you 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, the cords of Sheol surrounded me." That's hell, okay? "The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help came to his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and God begins to move," right? This incredible, this wonderful passage of scripture. If you opened to Psalm 18, you're going to read almost the exact same thing. Psalm 18 and 1 Samuel chapter 22 are almost word for word identical. As a matter of fact, in verse 1, we read here David saying, "This is the song that David sang when God delivered him from his enemies." In Psalm 18, the little title at the top will say, "This is the song that David wrote when God delivered him from his enemies." It's a moment when David is consumed with how great God is and how great his faithfulness is. David has journeyed, this isn't young David. David has journeyed the years of his life. David has moments that he wants to relive and moments that he wants to forget. So do I. Hey, by the way, when we celebrate 100 years here, so does Emmanuel Baptist Church. We have moments that we rejoice in, and we have moments as a church that we would look back at and say, we didn't get that one right. There are times where people have felt so loved and cared for over 100 years, and there are times when people have been hurt, right? And that's the reality of journeying with God, that you praise him for those times, but in those times where you say, we stumbled there, we missed the mark there, that you say, okay, Lord, good thing we're not building the church and you are. Good thing you're the one that's holding us. You're the one whose faithfulness we're relying on. And that's what David is declaring. I mean, if you look at the words, one writer says he piles words upon words, right? Because there he says what? The Lord is what? Rock. Verse 2, fortress, deliverer, rock, refuge, stronghold. I mean, the words that he goes on with about God. I always love to build forts. I love building forts. You know, now I was very little. You know what I mean? I'm still short, just not little anymore. But I can remember, if it was raining outside, I might build a fort under my own bed. I can remember, we weren't allowed to go into the food cabinets, but I remember taking some saltine crackers or some Chips Ahoy and putting them in a little backpack. I'm going on my own little camping trip under my bed, you know, and being like a little rat there, on, you know, or just mouse, whatever. Nobody knows I'm here. I snow forts in the backyard. I remember building a snow fort on those cold winter days where the wind is blowing, and then just getting in the fort and the wind, it's missing you, right? I would get in trouble, not just me, some of my siblings, but stay out of the neighbor's yards, my dad would say, because the Shermans across the street had this great evergreen, and we liked to build a fort inside of their tree. And the Ryans, their backyard, they had bamboo, and we would crawl through the bamboo. And Mrs. Black, she had hedges, and I had built a fort. You know, my dad would, we have a yard. Stop building forts in the neighbor's yards, right? I love, you know, but that's the first, what was great about a fort, you just felt secluded, secure, and that's what the words that David's using about our God. In 1924 with a tent, and then in 25 with the business meeting, God built a fort on the corner of Main Street and Poplar Avenue. I'm sure glad that I've been able to come in and be sheltered in your lives and in the hand of God and in the word of God, and certainly the gratitude for the buildings themselves. He goes on to continue to declare that, right? Verse 19 later, he says that what? The Lord was my support. Verse 29, the Lord was my lamp. And the key to all this is not that David is describing God, he's describing his relationship with that God, right? If you go back to verse 3, my God, my rock, my shield, my stronghold, right? Even as we said, it's my lamp, he's my support. There is no gain in knowing what God can be for other people. It's who is God to me. Now, I don't define who God is. Don't get that statement is heard very different in our modern ears. Who is God to me? As people say, well, my God is loving and he would never do this. Or my God would never do, and they're really saying, I have a salad bar God. I don't want the tomatoes. I'll take this or that. I created him. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the God who is, who has declared himself to be holy, just, eternal. He cannot look away from sin, but at the same time, loving and gracious and merciful, and he sent his son to rescue us from sin on the cross. Jesus Christ, as our bulletin said for so many years, crucified, risen, and coming again. That's what been our message, the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is my only hope. He's your only hope. He went to the cross because scripture says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also says that the wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. And if you've never come to Jesus through faith, stop listening to me right now and turn to God in your heart and say, oh God, save me. Forgive me, I put all my faith in Jesus. But the truth of it is that David says, this is who you are as God, and the God who has declared himself is my God. And as sure as David is about who God is, He's realistic about what we face in life, right? Because what does he say there? If you look on in verse 3, he says, what, that my Savior, you saved me from violence. Violence. Verse 4, from my enemies. Verse 5, when the waves of death encompassed me, torrents of destruction. Life on this earth can be very scary. Life on this earth can be unsettling, vulnerable. It was for David 3,000 years ago. It has been that way for 100 years for this church. First few years of this church, October of 1929, the stock market crashed and people were worshiping here during what we know as the Great Depression. By 1933, when the church was gathered here, not in this building, but the one where there's now like our children's ministry, 25% unemployment, one out of every four families in our church. That's what they were leaning on the Lord through. 8 years later, this church family got the news that Pearl Harbor had been attacked. I wasn't around. Some of you remember that day. I think it was a Sunday, right? And before you knew it, young lives from this church were in Africa and they were in Europe and they were serving in the Pacific. And the church was missing their young ones. Korea followed that. In 1959, Pastor Mitchell arrived after the wars, but within 4 years, the President of the United States was assassinated. Tumultuous time when John Kennedy was killed, and Pastor had to guide the church through that. A few years later, Martin Luther King, and before you know it, a lot of young lives from our town and our church were in a place called Vietnam, right? Families praying for those events. Pastor Leo arrived as assistant in 1989. In the following year, we were in the Gulf War, and young and lives from our church, some of you are here now, were serving in Kuwait. In those areas, we have a flag that sits over in our narthex around the bend from one of our service people who served, was away during such a time. When I arrived as pastor in 1993, it became a time for us, those of us who remember, of really terrorism here in our country. We had the Oklahoma City bombing, not for us, but the national news had become instant and up to date, and we all felt it and experienced it. And then we were all rocked by what at the time was the largest school killing, a Columbine High School. And then, of course, came the Twin Towers in 2001. If you were here, you remember on September 11th, we opened the church that night and we all just gathered to pray for our country. And young lives from our church now were in a place called Afghanistan. Some of the young lives from our church that were over in the mountain caves, right? What I mean is, I remember praying for them. And then certainly when Pastor Greg arrived in 2015, I'm sure glad he did, because I could have never gotten through the shutdown of COVID without Pastor Greg. Pastor Greg was so faithful and energetic and creative as we launched into a lot of live stream things because of your giving and the tech team that allowed us. I go through that because that's what life, David says. I learned about God because of the violence. I learned about God and who he really is because of the torrents around me. I learned how God surrounds us. And he says in chapter 22 and verse 17, then he, God, sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Do you hear that last part? He rescued me because he had to. No, he delights in us right now. God, Father, we know you're watching us. We are overwhelmed that you delight in us continuing 100 years later, not perfectly, but wholeheartedly with the gospel. We are his church. He is doing the building, and he uses our grateful and humble hearts in the process. And so I give you this verse as we go forward, as Scott challenged us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, what does he say in verse 9? We are God's fellow workers. We're going to need you in VBS. You are God's field, God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me and to you. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. God's doing a work. He started it 100 years ago here, and he's doing a work in and through you now, through you. And we want to praise him for it. And my dear friend, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, come to him. Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Save me. And he will in a moment. If you've never served, hey, now's the time. Step in. Right? 100 years from now, if the Lord hasn't come, maybe nobody remembers us. But we'll know that we were part of what's happening then, right? Praise God.